There are many musicians in the Staatsorchester who have multi-talents, and one of them is involved with a recording company called Faro. It's a small independent recording label, a boutique recording label, and they had been working with Audi for some time in different ways, developing research as to how sound in an automobile might be improved, but also involved with recording various concerts. And it was through Ferraro that a recommendation came that I should one day listen to Audicore. So I took the recommendation quite seriously and went to hear a performance. And the combination of a deep musical training with an involvement in the society, an involvement in the Gesellschaft, this combination, I think, it gave me such a sense of optimism to have a feeling that the next generation is really coming forward with a very serious commitment to the arts. I felt that this cooperation should continue. So this is one of the projects that I suggested that we collaborate on, and I was very, very happy that Audicore agreed to that it could be something very exciting. The other that we recently collaborated was the recording of some unknown Schumann works together with Walpurgisnacht, Mendelssohn, Brahms, Nenye, special chorus works that demand a very, very refined special technique. And hopefully the projects will continue.
Can you tell us about the choice of the Te Deum? It's quite a challenging work, isn't it, particularly for the young voices?
It's a challenging work for all voices, so challenging that it's not so often that one has a chance to hear it performed. It's structurally very, very challenging for any artist to try to weave together in a coherent form. And as you say, because the orchestration is so full, if somehow the voice isn't respected through the proper shaping and accompaniment, then it's very, very difficult, very hard physical work for a chorus. But we rehearsed today in Munich, and I think we were all very, very positive that what we bring now to the Vatican will be something special.
You, of course, perform in all the most prestigious concert halls and auditoriums around the world. What does it mean for you personally to be performing here in the Vatican for Pope Benedict?
It is something extraordinary. To be honest, I'm a little bit excited to try to understand what the acoustics will sound like. I've never been there, but the colleagues tell me that it's rather challenging acoustics to somehow make some sense. So I'm going to go very early and listen. But of course, the Vatican is a symbol, and it's much more than simply a religious or tied completely to religion. It stands for much more. And included in what it stands for is, of course, history, tradition, art, and spirituality. So for anyone to be invited, first of all, to play in the Vatican in front of an audience of the Pope, it's a great honor. It's something very, very special. Completely divorced from whatever religious perspective you might come from, for all of these symbols that the Vatican stands for, it's a great honor.
The Pope, of course, is known for his love of classical music, Bruckner in particular, I believe. How important is it to have, do you think, an appreciative audience like that?
We offered several programs, three programs, to the Vatican, and this is the program that they decided they would like to have. So there is a relevance somehow. Before I came down, I was just watching the news on television and all of these incredible world events around us that are happening. Somehow it feels like the right moment tomorrow to play the Ninth Symphony of Bruckner.
I imagine you will have a moment after the concert to exchange a few words, perhaps, with the Pope. Is there any particular message or anything you'd like to say to him?
It's rather private.
How important important do you think it is for renowned professionals, musicians such as yourself, to dedicate this amount of time and energy to working with young musicians?
Of all of my colleagues, I can't think of an exception. We all feel, and this has, by the way, been true as far as we know from looking back in history, that a part of our responsibility as artists is to make sure that we don't simply profit from the great repertoire that we have inherited in our tradition, but we care for this tradition during our time so that the next generation can inherit this great, rich tradition that we had, and hopefully with yet another chapter. So it is important. We in the Staatsorchester, we do a number of things. We do youth programs. We offer special open doors for youth to come in and tour the opera house. The Staatsorchester will take them around. I will speak with them. There are times when youth, young schools are invited to come and listen to rehearsals. So, but I suppose the most formal and concrete example of the commitment of the orchestra and myself is that we formed a youth orchestra. It's called Ataka. And this was the idea of the Staatsorchester themselves. Because, of course, my question was, why do we need another youth orchestra? There are many great youth orchestras around. And this question prompted quite a bit of discussion. And the feeling of the Staatsorchester is a great respect and knowledge of the special relationship between our public and our opera house. This special relationship has gone on for hundreds of years, at least from the time of Mozart, and maybe even before. This very, very intense relationship with the community, with the society, as manifest or represented by our public and the house, a sense that this house really belongs to the society, and not the other way around. This is that somehow the public belongs to us. It's really we serve and we belong to the public. And the orchestra was very concerned that in our audiences that we see more and more young people coming, and felt that one of the best ways to do that was to somehow involve them in the creative process of making music. And as we know, there are many youth orchestras that I would call elite orchestras, where the very, very top level of instrumental playing, the future professionals, they form exceptionally great youth orchestras around, and they're very well known and very well respected, as they should be. The idea of the Staatsorchester was to form an orchestra that, yes, of course, excellence and talent is absolutely necessary and required and welcome. But we wanted the orchestra to also include people that would be 10 or 15 years from now a part of our Abonnenten, a part of our subscription series. And it's true that when one speaks with the public who come to the Staatsoper or a concert by the Staatsorchester, many of them play the piano, many of them play the violin or played clarinet or played in a school orchestra, developed a real love for music. It's not as if there's a really far removal from their love of music came from or from playing music in the house. House concerts used to be very, very popular in America. Unfortunately, I think it would be fair to say that that's kind of disappeared a little bit now. Now instead, people go on the internet, you know, or play a video game or something. But even in my lifetime, when I was a boy, family house concerts or community house concerts were an essential way of kind of bringing the community closer together. And that was the idea of the orchestra, to, yes, bring the very, very best talent that we could find, but also not to say no to the students who had a great love of music and were prepared to work very hard. And in this case, the whole Staatsorchester takes responsibility to help coach, help prepare the orchestra for their concerts. So the Ataka Orchestra, which began in 2007, is 4 years old now, and it seems to be getting bigger and more successful every time. That's a very concrete way of showing how important it is to make a commitment to the next generation.